Amen. Today is the last Friendship Sunday of the year. In the cathedral, the fifth Sunday is called Friendship Sunday. And it's a time when we celebrate friendship. It's a time when we invite everyone to our services. So the last Friendship Sunday for this year. Truly, friendship is a blessing. And there are so many kinds of friends that we can have. Some friends are people that we just know by name. We know their face, we know their name, we smile and we say hello. But at the other spectrum, there are friends who are deep, close friends. And I believe that the best friend that we can have is someone who brings out the best in us. Someone who causes change in our life such that our life becomes beautiful and better. Today's scripture passage is about such a friendship between a man named Zacchaeus and Jesus. Zacchaeus was once living a very miserable life, but after he met his new friend Jesus, Zacchaeus' life was changed into something beautiful. And if we, like Zacchaeus, want to have this life-changing friendship with Jesus, then there are two things that we can do. The two things there, both beginning with the letter C, chase and change. Chase and change. The sermon notes are in your bulletin. If you want, you can follow the sermon notes. Or if you wish, don't bother. You can always refer to the Bible passages in your notes later on. Firstly, chase after Jesus. The next slide, please. Luke 19, 1-2. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Jesus was passing through this town named Jericho. Physically, Jericho is a very low place, a very low city. Low in the sense that it's about 850 feet, or in metric, it's 258 meters below sea level. A very low city. It's not exactly the lowest point on earth. The lowest point on earth is nearby, is the Dead Sea, literally the lowest point on earth. But Jericho is also what you would call a very low city. And in terms of spiritual application, Jericho represents the low points in our life. I believe we all go through low times, times of depression, when we're very sad, times where things go wrong, times where we really need help. The good news for us is that Jesus is passing through Jericho. Amen. Whatever low times we are in, Jesus is coming to help us. So we see in Luke 19, verse 3, that there was a crowd on the road to Jericho, and this crowd was lined up just waiting for the coming of Jesus. Why was there a huge crowd? I suppose many in the crowd wanted physical healing. You know what had just happened before Jesus entered Jericho? He did a tremendous miracle. We read about that in Luke 18, 35 to 42. There was a blind beggar on the road. Jesus passed by and healed him instantly. Did you hear the words that I said? There was a blind beggar on the road, and Jesus passed by and healed him instantly. Amen. Beggar means a poor man. A man with no money, a man unable to go to a doctor, a man unable to seek any kind of medical treatment. And his sickness was worse than what you call a normal sickness. He was blind. What doctor could save him? Jesus came and healed him instantly. It was such a tremendous miracle, and this happened just before Jesus entered Jericho. No wonder news spread like wildfire. And the whole town, I believe the whole town of Jericho came and lined the road, all waiting to see Jesus passing by. So many of them, I believe, would have wanted physical healing. But in that crowd, there was a man who did not need physical healing. but he needed healing of another kind. His name, Zacchaeus, chief tax collector. To understand what this means, you need to know that in those days, tax collectors were very hated by the people. Hated by the Jewish people because, firstly, the tax collector himself was a Jew, and yet he was working for the Gentiles. And to the Jewish people, Gentiles were considered unclean. These were unclean Gentiles. Not only that, they were the Roman oppressors, cruel people ruling over Israel at that time. Tax collectors worked for unclean Gentiles. They were hated. And then the tax collectors, they would collect not just the tax that the Romans needed, but the tax collector would collect a lot more. And the lot more would go into the pocket of the tax collector. So a tax collector was hated. And how about Zacchaeus? You read his designation in the Bible. He's not tax collector. He's chief tax collector. So what does that mean? If the tax collectors are rich, this chief tax collector is super rich, and by implication, he's super bad. he was really cheating people of huge amounts of money. Maybe the richest man in Jericho, possibly the most hated man in Jericho. Have you ever been hated? You know, if people hate me, or they say unkind things to me, or they do unkind things to me, it's like a dagger going right through my heart. I really feel the pain where people do things unkind to me or say unkind things to me. I think Zacchaeus had lots of daggers going right through his heart because he was such a terribly hated man. So desperately did Zacchaeus need emotional healing. And so, what did he do? Next slide, please. He chased after Jesus. He chased after Jesus. Luke 19, verse 3 says that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. The crowd was so big, and he couldn't see because Zacchaeus was a very short man. Is being short a problem? I think being short is a big problem for men, even for women. I also find being short a problem. That's why I have to stand on this platform, otherwise you cannot see me. So, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because he was so short. And so, this is what he did. Next slide. Luke 19, verse 4. He ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Zacchaeus ran ahead. Why was he running? I believe he was running, and he was running to get to the front of the crowd, to get to the first person in the queue. He was trying so desperately, running and running and running. But no matter how far and how fast Zacchaeus ran, it didn't work. He could not reach number one in the queue because the crowd was just too big. So then Zacchaeus did the next best thing. He climbed up a tree, something high like this, so that he could see Jesus passing by. Have you ever climbed a tree? I think if you're blessed with long legs, you can do it. But when you have short legs, climbing a tree is a real problem. And Zacchaeus had short legs. But this was who Zacchaeus was. He was a man who so desperately needed to see Jesus that he would run and he would climb, even with his short legs. He would climb to get up to the tree. How about us? Do we want to see Jesus? You say, can we see Jesus? Jesus is God. Can we see God? God says, yes, we can. Next slide. Jeremiah 29:13. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hallelujah. We can find God. We can find him in a very close, intimate way. God says, when we seek him with all our heart. For myself, I've been a Christian for many, many years. Next month, December, I would have been a pastor in this church for 30 years. And of course, even before being a pastor for 30 years, I was already a Christian for many years. And yet, despite knowing Jesus for so long, I still feel there's much more that I want to know about Him. I still want to get so much closer to Jesus, closer to God. The Holy Spirit is doing new things all over the world. And I want to be so close to the Holy Spirit that when He speaks, I can hear. When He does something, I can see. And so in the words of Jeremiah 29, I need to seek God with all my heart. Just as Zacchaeus ran and climbed, so too, I believe, if you want to see God, God says, seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. For some of us, there are trees or obstacles that we must climb in order to see God. Perhaps some of you here today are not yet Christians. You're not yet baptized. But in your heart, there is a longing for Jesus. You want to become a Christian, but there are obstacles. Your family objects. If so, this is an obstacle that you must climb in order to see God. And for others of us, we are already Christians, but still we know deep down inside, we are not so close that we can say Jesus is my friend. There is still so much more that we can do. Be like Zacchaeus. Chase after Jesus. Next slide, please. Yes. To have a life-changing friendship with Jesus. Firstly, chase after Him. And secondly, we must change. Next slide. Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus saw Zacchaeus up the tree, and He called him by name. How did Jesus know that this man up the tree, his name is Zacchaeus? Was it because Zacchaeus was so famous? The number one tax collector, the richest man, the most hated man. Was that why Jesus knew his name? Perhaps, but I think no. There was another reason. I think Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name because Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Right from the time He was conceived at birth, He was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is able to give us divine revelation. One of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit is called the word of knowledge. And if we have this gift, we are able to know things supernaturally, things that we can never know in the natural, the word of knowledge. And I want to tell you a story about one man who has this gift, and I know others of us have too. Next slide, please. Some of you are familiar with this man. His name is Peter Truong. He's a Vietnamese-Australian, and he's a healing evangelist. There was one time he was in New Zealand, and he was about to go on a treasure hunt. Now, some of us have been on treasure hunts. A treasure hunt is when you pray that God will reveal to you treasure. And in this case, treasure means a person, a certain stranger, a person you don't know at all. But as you pray, the Holy Spirit will give to you word of knowledge. He will give to you information about that stranger so that when you meet him, you are able to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a treasure hunt. So, this time in New Zealand, Peter Truong was about to go on a treasure hunt the next day at the University of Auckland. On the night before his treasure hunt, Peter Truong was praying. And as he prayed, the Holy Spirit told him that the next day he would meet a man, and this man would be called Paul. His name is Paul. And this man would be dressed in black jeans and a black jumper. You know, a jumper, right? It's something like a knitted sweater. So this man, his name is Paul. He's wearing black jeans and a black jumper. And he has a need in his heart. And his need is that he needs direction in life. So the next day, Peter Trung went to the University of Auckland. He was walking around, and lo and behold, he saw a young Asian man with blue hair. Blue hair. Because this young Asian man had actually dyed his hair blue. And the Holy Spirit said to Peter Trung, "This is the man." So when Peter Trung looked at him, true enough, this man with blue hair, he had black jeans and a black jumper. So Peter Trung went up to him and said, "Hi, Paul." And Paul was like, "How do you know my name?" And Peter Trung said, "The Holy Spirit told me." And then they started a conversation. Peter Trung prayed for him. And the very next day, this young man, Paul, he went to church. Amen. So I'm saying the Holy Spirit can give to us, even today, the gift. It's called word of knowledge, supernatural revelation. I believe Jesus had this when he called Zacchaeus by name. When that day on the road to Jericho, when Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, he not only called his name, but he also said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because today I'm going to your house." And I believe that this saying, "Today I'm going to your house," it touched Zacchaeus very deeply. It was actually a public declaration by Jesus that he wanted to be a friend of Zacchaeus. And why do I say that? Well, let's consider the reaction of the crowd. Next slide, Luke 19, verse 7. When they, that's the crowd, when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." The crowd was angry with Jesus because he wanted to go to the home of Zacchaeus. I think if Jesus had called a poor man in the crowd, and if he had said to the poor man, "I'm going to your home," I think the crowd would have cheered. "Yes, yes, yes, Jesus, yes. Go to the house of the poor man. Bless the poor man. Bless his family." But Jesus didn't go to the house of a poor man. He went to the house of the richest man, the most hated man, the greatest sinner. And you see the reaction of the crowd. It says, the Bible says, they all grumbled. They all grumbled. The whole crowd turned against Jesus. When I read this, I told myself, I'd better learn. Because sometimes I get very intimidated. And I say to myself, if I make this decision, the whole crowd is going to turn against me. And I have to tell myself, Jesus didn't make decisions to be popular, but Jesus did what was right. And I have to tell myself also, don't worry about being popular. Just worry about doing what is right. Jesus was hated by the crowd. Just in that moment, the whole crowd turned against him, grumbled against him, because he went to be a friend of a sinner. And this crowd had no idea that that's who Jesus is. He is a friend of sinners. I'm so glad Jesus is a friend of sinners, because if not, Jesus would never have accepted me. When I was in school as a student, I was a very bad student. There was one teacher who called me, "You nuisance!" Another teacher called me, "You pest!" And another teacher called me, "Lazy worm!" I was anything but teacher's pet. I was bad not just in my studies, I was bad in other ways also. But you know, those are very private, personal things. They are not things I can speak about from the pulpit. But the point is, I am so glad. Praise God. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Otherwise, he would never have accepted me. So coming back to the story of Zacchaeus. Having Jesus as his new friend impacted Zacchaeus so much that his life totally changed. Next slide, please. Luke 19, verse 8, Zacchaeus said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus was making a complete change, a total change in his life. And for us to understand the full impact of what Zacchaeus was saying, we need to understand Torah. Torah is actually the scriptures that the Jewish people had in the times of Jesus. We still have Torah today in our Bibles. Christians call it the law, but actually, law is the wrong word. The right word is Torah. Next slide, please. And Torah does not mean law, but Torah means God's teaching or God's guidance. Torah. So what does Torah say? In Torah, God says that if a person steals, there are certain penalties. Let's see the next slide. In the first case, if a person steals but later repents, then this person has to return the amount that he stole plus 20% more. So if I steal $100 from you and then I feel very bad about it, I have to return your $100 and I have to give you $20 extra. That's not good. In the second case, if a man steals an animal and then later this man is caught and the animal is still with him, the animal is alive and well, the man must return the animal plus 100% more. Oh, that's even worse. A stiffer penalty. The third case is the most extreme. In the third case, a man who steals an ox or a sheep and then kills it, he actually kills the animal or he sells it so that by the time he is caught, he doesn't have the animal anymore and he cannot give it back to the owner. In this case, the man must restore what he has stolen 400 times in the case of sheep and 500 times in the case of cows. In other words, if he stole one sheep and then this sheep is either dead or given away to someone else, sold to someone else, this man must restore 4 sheep. If he stole 1 cow, he must restore 5 cows. The Bible references are in your notes, and please go home and check them later. They're all from Exodus and Leviticus. So we see from this that when Zacchaeus said, if I have defrauded anyone, I will restore fourfold, Zacchaeus was actually going to the extreme of what Torah required. 400% in the case of sheep. Extreme. That's how impacted Zacchaeus was by his friendship with Jesus. And Zacchaeus even went very much further because he said, half of my goods I will give to the poor. Half of my goods. If I have 1 pair of shoes, no, if I have 2 pairs of shoes, I will give half to the poor and I will keep 1 for myself. If I have 2 robes, I will give half to the poor and I will keep half for myself. Zacchaeus went to the extreme end of Torah and did a lot more also. What was it that causes change in Zacchaeus? How come from being a cheat and an unscrupulous man, how come Zacchaeus could change so completely that he completely followed God's teachings, God's guidance, God's Torah? Was it because when Jesus went to his home, Jesus gave him 1 hour of lecture? You know, Zacchaeus, you have sinned. You've done this, this, this. Zacchaeus, you have not obeyed Torah. Did Jesus lecture Zacchaeus for 1 hour? I don't believe so. I believe that there was something about being in the presence of Jesus, that Zacchaeus did not feel condemnation, but he felt acceptance and love. And do you know that it is acceptance and love that brings about change? I told you before when I was in school, there's a teacher who called me nuisance, another one who called me pest, and yet another one who called me, what was it, lazy worm. All these teachers never brought out the best in me, never. Because that's what they expected of me, that's what I gave to them. I was all those things to them. But there was one teacher who treated me differently. And this one other teacher believed in me and believed that I could do much better. And this teacher brought out the best in me. I believe that's how it was with Zacchaeus. Not that Jesus condemned him, but that when Jesus looked at him and talked to him, Zacchaeus felt acceptance. He felt love. This is what a good friend does. He brings out the best in us. Also, I believe there was something about the way Jesus called his name. It was special. You know, names in the Bible, they're very meaningful. Very often, names refer to a person's destiny. Many, many examples in the Bible. For the sake of time, I will mention one positive example and one negative example. Next slide, please. This is the positive example. A man in the book of Genesis, his name was Abram. And Abram means exalted father. Actually, it's very easy for us to understand. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Jewish word, Hebrew word, Abba. You know this word, Abba? It means father, right? So if you shorten Abba, you get Ab, A-B. And that's how it is, Abram. The first part means father. So Abram means exalted father. But that was not his destiny. God changed his name to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many nations. That was his destiny. And so even though Abraham was so old, the Bible says his body was as good as dead. He was so old, he was as good as dead. Even so, the destiny was fulfilled, and he became the father of many nations. His destiny revealed in his name. That's the positive example. And now I give you the negative example. Next slide, please. In 1 Samuel 25, there's a story of Nabal. Nabal is actually a very, very rich man. And he also had a wife who was very beautiful and very intelligent. Nabal had everything going for him. The only problem was Nabal was very foolish in everything that he did. Especially he was foolish to David. Now at that time, David was not yet king of Israel, but he was already Israel's national hero. Because you remember the story of how Goliath, the giant, the Philistine giant, challenged the Israelite army, and the whole of the Israelite army, including King Saul, was terrified to fight with Goliath. But one youth came up, and that youth, David, came and killed Goliath. So David was already famous as Israel's national hero, even though he wasn't yet king. David had a band of men, and David and his men were very kind to Nabal and Nabal's men. And so David actually protected Nabal's men, protected them from robbers and thieves. David's men showed great kindness to Nabal's men. But when it came to the time when David asked for a favor in return, Nabal refused to return the favor. It was a feast day. You know, in the Bible, feast days are important. And David said to Nabal, "It's a feast day. Let my men join you all. Please give us food on this feast day." A reasonable request. But what did Nabal say? This rich man said, "I refuse to spend money to give food to David and his men. I refuse, even though he is so rich. I refuse to spend money." He even said, "David? Who is David? I've never heard of David. How can he not have heard of David? David had killed Goliath. All Israel knew David." So Nabal did all these terrible things. He did not return kindness, but instead he insulted David so terribly that actually David could have killed Nabal. And he would have, if not for Nabal's wife, who was beautiful and intelligent and came to beg on behalf of her husband, "Please excuse him. He's a fool." You see, that's the meaning of Nabal's name. It means fool. Nabal means fool. Nabal really lived up to his destiny. If you have a child, please don't ever call him Nabal. It means fool. So names show destiny. Abraham, Nabal. And now we come to Zacchaeus. Next slide. Zacchaeus is a very beautiful name. Zacchaeus means righteous one or innocent. Wow, that's his destiny, to be righteous, to be innocent. But you can imagine, every time any Jewish person in Jericho spoke about Zacchaeus, he spoke with great sarcasm. He would have said something like, Zacchaeus, righteous one, he sure isn't righteous. Zacchaeus, innocent? No, he's not innocent. Terrible sarcasm in their voice. But when Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, I think it was so different. There was so much love coming through that Jesus would have said to him, Zacchaeus, you are righteous. You are innocent. This is your destiny. Hallelujah. This was what changed Zacchaeus so much and brought about total change in his life until he followed God's law, God's Torah, with all of his heart. A true friend brings out the best in us. When Jesus heard the change in Zacchaeus, he was so pleased. Next slide. Luke 19, verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. It sounds good in English. It sounds even better in Hebrew. Next slide, please. In the Hebrew language, the word salvation is Yeshua. And the word Jesus is Yeshua. They're very, very similar. Yeshua and Yeshua, they sound the same. If you write them, you'll find that they are based on the same Hebrew roots. Hebrew words are made up of roots. And the words for Yeshua and Yeshua are there. The two are definitely connected in meaning. So when Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, he could have said, today, Yeshua, salvation has come to this house. He could also have said, today, Yeshua, Jesus, has come to this house. Both are correct. And when we think of salvation, don't just think of the narrow sense. We always say, this person said the sinner's prayer. He has salvation. That's the narrow sense. But in the full sense, the broader sense, Yeshua, salvation means deliverance from danger. It means healing, welfare, even prosperity. And it means that for this life, in the literal sense, also in the spiritual sense. How do we get all of this? Deliverance from danger, healing, welfare, prosperity. How do we get all of these? Salvation, Yeshua, the only way is through Jesus, Yeshua. Only by receiving Jesus as our friend. Have you received Jesus as your friend? As I said, we could have been Christians a long time, and yet our relationship with Jesus, honestly, not so close that we can say he's our friend, that he has come into our house. And you know, in the biblical meaning, house doesn't just mean physical place where you stay, but house has a bigger meaning. House can also refer to your body. House can also refer to your life. Today, salvation has come to this house. I believe that for many of us, what has prevented us from having a closer friendship with Jesus is perhaps our concept of God, that God is like the judge of the world. God is very fierce. God is very holy. I dare not approach him. But if so, let me leave you with these words, a very special quote. Next slide, please. The old fashion was to draw a long face when speaking of religious things, but it was based on the thought that God is a solemn and just God, and at the same time, forgetting that God is a happy God and a joyful God. Therefore, we must be happy and joyful. Shake off this death-like solemnity and be joyful. We must show the world that we are happy because of this blessed assurance of salvation. This person said, in the old days, people, when they talked about religion, they looked very solemn, long face, very sad. But he said no. He said that's a wrong concept of God. The right concept is that God is a happy God, a joyful God. And who is this man whom we just heard the words of? Next slide. His name is Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts is the leader of the great Welsh revival of 1904 to 1905. Just 2 years, a great Welsh revival, God did tremendous things. What tremendous things? In just 2 years, more than 150,000 people got converted. More than 150,000 people got converted. Broken families were reunited. Prostitution went out of business. No more prostitutes, no more customers. The whole of society radically changed. Why? Because of the burning passion of Evan Roberts. And what gave him this burning passion to share the gospel? His belief that God is not an angry God, but God is a God of joy, a happy God. I don't think we've ever heard before that God is a happy God. It even sounds funny for me to say it. God is a happy God? Well, he is. He's a joyful God. He's a God full of love. And I encourage you, find out for yourself the extent of God's love. Find out for yourself how joyful he is, how he loves to be with you, how he loves to do good in your life. Amen. Let's come before the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Thank you. And I'll ask Chitrani to come and lead us into God's presence again.